The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
We thank you, Father, for today, for a brand new day, for grace and mercies released. Thank you for another opportunity to delve into your Word. It is written, the entrance of thy Word giveth light. Let there be illumination upon the audience today, upon the church of Jesus Christ. Let there be enlightenment, O God, by your Spirit. And we pray, Father, that understanding shall be granted so that we shall be enriched with the Word. Grant us the ability and the capacity to take in and retain the Word. And let the Word bring changes, O godly transformations in our lives. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you give a hand clap offering to the Lord? And please take your seats. The topic for today is the salvation of the Lord. The salvation of the Lord. Exodus chapter 14. I just read verse 13. Exodus 14, 13. The Bible says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. I take it again. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Verse 14 says, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Say amen to the reading of the word. Verse 15 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they may go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen, and the angel of the Lord which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to this, so that the one came not near the other at all the night. I wanted to read one verse, but I was led to read many more. So say amen to the reading of his word. The title once again is The Salvation of the Lord. And I'm preaching this message in three segments. The first part is do not be afraid. The second part is stand still. And the third is see the salvation of the Lord, or the salvation of the Lord. So do not be afraid. Secondly, stand still. And thirdly, the salvation of the Lord. So let's start right from the top. Do not be afraid, number one. That means do not be scared. Do not be filled with panic. Do not have dread for anything. Do not imagine death on yourself. Do not worry. This was at a time that the plague of the death of the firstborn had struck the Egyptians, and the households of the Israelites had been spared by the Lord by reason of the application of the blood of the lamb that was sprinkled upon their doorposts and their lintels. The Bible says eventually Pharaoh will let the people of Israel go. But just after he had let them go, he had a sudden change of mind, because I believe he began to ask himself, who shall continue to give us such cheap labor? Our economy may grind to a halt. And eventually what happened was that Israel came to the banks of the Red Sea, and on either side of them were mountains. So on their left mountain, right mountain. Ahead of them was the Red Sea, and behind them were Pharaoh's army, who were closing in upon them. Then the people of God began to panic. Fear filled their hearts, and they began to be afraid of what they saw, because Pharaoh sent so many chariots of horses to come and pursue them, hundreds of chariots. The Bible says 600 chariots, according to Exodus 14:7, 600 chariots of horses. Very frightening. Looked like a war zone. And they were coming to attack Israel and ask them to rescind their decision and come back into Egypt. In verse 11 of Exodus 14, Israel began to complain. And they began to say that, were there no graves in Egypt that you, Moses, have brought us or taking us away to die in the wilderness? In verse 12, and I'm paraphrasing, he says, did not we tell you to leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? Didn't we ask you, Moses, to leave us alone? We were comfortable in bondage. We were comfortable in slavery. We were comfortable in oppression. They mistreated us, but at least our lives were not in danger like this. So it was at this stage that Moses began to communicate to the people, and he began to tell them, fear not. Oh, tell somebody, fear not. Or can you turn around to another person and say, fear not? Say it boldly. Let your words drive fear out of the person. Tell the person, fear not. So Moses went ahead and told them, fear not, do not be afraid. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In verse number 14, he says, for the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. In verse number 15, he says, why do you cry unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. So when Israel became panic-stricken, when Israel became disturbed and confused, and began to worry at the banks of the Red Sea, because they had no idea, they had no clue how they would escape the 600 chariots of Pharaoh's army coming strongly against them, and they lifted up their voices and they were crying, but they complained directly to heaven. God spoke to Moses and told Israel what they must do. Can I hear an amen from somebody? The Bible says the presence of God that was ahead of them lifted from before them and settled behind them. So it became an invisible barrier between Israel and Egypt. It became the wall of protection. It was an impenetrable barrier. God has a way of shielding his people so the enemy will not overrun you. And in the midst of this, God went ahead to ask Israel to do the second thing. So the first thing is, do not be afraid. Do not be scared. Do not panic. Do not have dread for anything. Do not imagine yourselves as dead. Do not worry. And don't be panic-stricken in spite of the pursuit and hunting by the armies of Pharaoh. I want you to know, one of the things that hates the devil is that one time you were serving him, but now you are no longer under subjection unto him. One time you were slaves unto him, but now you are born slaves unto the Most High God. One time he profited by abusing and misusing you, but now he hasn't got the opportunity to do that. And sometimes there's the desire of the enemy to find ways and means to take you back into bondage. The Bible says they came to spy out our liberty, that they might find ways to take us back into bondage. And that's why the Christian has to be careful, so you are not deceived into believing a lie as a truth and getting back into bondage. The church in Galatia fell for that. And Paul wrote to them and said, "Oh, ye foolish Galatians, why did you start with grace and then ended in the law? Because in the law there is condemnation, and in the law there is judgment." One of the things that helps to keep pregnancy is when you don't have fear. Medical science will tell you that there are a few things that affect pregnancy for miscarriage, but one of the things that is common that affects a number of women is when they fear they will lose it. Today I have come to prophesy to you, any dream that God has given to you, no matter the attack, you will not lose it. Can I hear an amen? Any vision that God has given to you, like Joseph, even if your brother sold you into captivity, by the grace of God, the dream will still be fulfilled in that place. So you will not lose your baby. Can I hear an amen? You will not lose your child. You will not lose the embryo. You will not lose the fetus. The Lord will help you to sustain it and to keep it and to preserve it. So you need to walk in faith, in total dependence on God, confessing the word of God. Anytime any fear rests its ugly head, confront the fear and deal with it. Are you getting what I'm saying? When a spirit tells you that you don't have a bright future and your end will be a casualty, deal with it by the word of God. Can I hear an amen? Because the Bible says, "I know my thoughts toward you. They are thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end." Any thought of evil doesn't come from God. And the Bible says, "Whom you resist steadfastly." So some thoughts must be resisted. They must not be giving any fertile ground to grow. Fear thrives when we panic. But I believe today you will not panic. Can I hear a good amen to the glory of God? So the first point is fear not. The second point is stand still. Stand still in the original means stand firm and be confident. Don't be dismayed. There are some instances when your strength is in your calmness and your quietness. That is why in Psalm 46 verse 10 the Bible said, "Be still and know that I am God. I shall be exalted among the heathen." To be among the heathen means to be among the wicked. To be among the heathen means to be among unfavorable circumstances, adverse conditions, likely situations that could rise against you. But God says when you find yourself in such a situation, be still, be calm, be cool, be collected. It doesn't mean don't pray, but after your prayer, don't panic. Can I hear an amen? Don't be shaken. Don't be disturbed. Don't be filled with ungodly trepidation. Are you hearing what I'm saying, somebody? But rather remain calm and have your confidence based on the word that he who has begun with you will certainly end with you. For God is your author and the finisher of your faith. Even that faith is not yours, it is God's, and he started it. When you trust him, he will take you through and bring you to a fruitful end. Somebody say amen. So be quiet and be calm, and don't open your mouth to ventilate unbelief. Don't open your mouth to say negative things. Don't say we are in trouble and we are about to die and the conditions may destroy us and the evil circumstances may overwhelm us. Be calm, be relaxed. Stop fretting, stop striving, and stop fighting against your own soul. In Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 15, Isaiah 30:15, it says, "For thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, ye shall be saved." Listen to the latter part. "In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not." In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. There is a time to pray out loud. There is a time to confess the word loud. But there's also a time to be quiet and meditate on the word. There's a time to trust God in your heart. There is a time to rely on the word of God and walk quietly in the Lord. Can I hear an amen? It is in that state of quietness and meditation on the word of God that spiritual confidence is birthed in your heart. And we can say that in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. May your strength come forth out of your meditation. May your strength come forth out of listening to the word of God. May your strength come forth out of confessing the word of God. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, remember this scripture, we used it the previous week. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 17. He says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Can you say amen? This is the word of God. There is a battle where you prepare, and you prepare ahead of time. So when you want to walk to the battlefield, you are going to collect the victories. I believe you are in today to collect the victories and to take the spoil and to collect the harvest. The Bible says you shall not need to fight in this battle, because there are some battles which are the Lord's. But you will need to set yourself, organize yourself properly. And after that, you stand still. Ah, come on. After that, you remain confident on your inside. After that, you stop striving against the word of God. After that, you meditate and trust the word of God. There may be contradictory evidence in the circumstances, but keep your eyes on the Lord. The symptoms may be varying and moving from one far end to the other end, but the Bible says that the Lord is my stay. May God be your stability in the name of Jesus Christ. The medical report may be screaming loud in the negative direction, but remain calm. Don't develop palpitation of heart because the medical results were not favorable. God is bigger than the devil, and God is bigger than the demons, and God is bigger than the weapons of Satan being used against you, and God is bigger than your negative condition. Everything shall be silent in the presence of God, and everything shall fall in line in the presence of God. So don't panic and don't be disturbed, but relax in the presence of God. You will not need to be afraid, but you will need to stand still, and that will be followed by you seeing the salvation of the Lord. Oh, Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord shall be with you. I prophesy that fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord shall be with you. He shall be with you in the morning, at noontime, in the evening, and in the dead of the night. He will be with you in light and even in darkness, in hope and in the midst of hopelessness. He will be with you when you are high or when you are low in the valley. The Lord shall be with you. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, even unto the end of the world. While the medical report is being handed to you, God is still with you, and God is bigger than the report. Have you not read in the book of Nehemiah that there were curses, but God turned the curses into blessings? There could be an evil report, but may God change that report. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Whether it's from your bankers or from your investment officials or from your insurance company, or whether it is from your medical assistance or whatever, I have come to prophesy to you, forever, O Lord, thy word is established. Before you had the bad report, the word of God was established, and everything will move and gravitate toward what the word is. In the name of Jesus, at the command of God, everything will fall in line and in pleasant places by the Spirit of Almighty God. So don't sign a death warrant for yourself. Don't kill yourself before time. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Don't say, I've prayed and I started praying 5 years ago, and I prayed 4 years ago and 3 years ago. As for last year, it was worse. And as for this year, I don't know what is going to happen. Listen to me. When God says you won't die, you won't die. Even Lazarus was dead on the third day. Jesus went to raise him back to life and said, Lazarus, come forth, after the tombstone was taken away. For with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The Bible says, for God calleth things which be not as though they were. And so when God is broke, he doesn't say I am broke, but he say I am richer, and my wealth is yet to be manifest. When God has no peace, he doesn't say I'm disturbed, but he say I have peace, which will overtake my disturbance. Are you hearing me? When God is not well, and God will not open his mouth to say that I am not well, but he will say that I'm healing by the stripes of Jesus, and I'm awaiting the manifestations. He calleth things which be not as though they were. So don't be afraid. Call victory for yourself. Call favor for yourself. Call blessing for yourself. Call open doors for yourself. I say, call promotion for yourself. What you call shall come to pass. Keep saying it. You may not see a change today, but say it many times, and say it tomorrow, and say it the day after. I'll be fine. Even my daughter will be shocked. Guys in the medical laboratory will get my report and they'll be shocked. Was it not the report we saw a month ago, a year ago? And how come that there's such a transformation and a change? Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Be still and know that is God, for he shall be exalted among the heathen. Among the negative circumstances, among the contradictory situation, shout yeah. Oh, I thought you would shout louder and clap bigger than you are doing. Oh, I'm feeling the word. I'm enjoying the word. I'm riding high on the word, as if circumstances of adversity didn't even exist, because they are passing away. When somebody has had a pregnancy and lost it, there is fear. When somebody has written an exam and failed, there is fear. When you are sitting for the paper again, and somebody has started a business and was succeeding, and suddenly there was an adverse wind and the business collapsed, starting one again may likely scare you. Sometimes if you have lost a close relative and somebody else gets sick, you are likely to panic. But the Lord says, fear not. Fear not, brother. Fear not, sister. Fear not. Neither be thou dismayed, for I am your God, for I will strengthen you and I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, Moses said, fear not. Do not be afraid. Stand still. Stand still. Meditate on God's word. In your quietness, you will develop confidence. And it is out of that confidence that God will meet your need in the name of Jesus. So the first point was, do not be afraid. Tell somebody, do not be afraid. Say it in power and in boldness. Tell the person, do not be afraid. Oh, you are not, the way you are saying it, it's not moving me. Say, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Then tell another person, stand still, stand still. Tell the person, don't worry, relax, relax. God knew coronavirus will come and disturb things. God knew there will be an economic downturn. God knew that there will be difficulties, but God still stated his word ahead of coronavirus. You are going to either believe the newspapers, television, or you believe the word of God. Whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of God. Can you clap as you believe the report of the Lord? Number three, which is the third point, is where the topic for today's message was derived. The salvation of the Lord. So Moses told the people in Exodus 14:13, do not be afraid, number one. Number two, stand still. So these two things must be done. And you will see the salvation of the Lord. There are two kinds of salvation. Number one is salvation of man. And number two is the salvation of the Lord. The salvation of man is the extent to which man can help you. But there is another extent beyond which man cannot help you. Only God can. So in the domain of men, sometimes even men will be sent to help us. And I'll give you an example. If somebody was driving a vehicle and one of the tires went into a gutter or a small ditch, and it doesn't require a towing vehicle, and where the person is far away from the nearest towing vehicle, and you have a group of people like 6, 8 who can help you, they are coming to your aid to salvage the vehicle from the gutter by raising it so you get back on track. It's a help of man, and it's a good help. Last year, in the midst of the coronavirus, some people had earlier traveled, I think from Europe to the US, a man and a woman. They wanted to get married. And this couple had gone to one of the shops in New York City, and they had gotten themselves some engagement and wedding rings. But just as they left, I'm sure they were excited and they were hugging each other and pecking each other that the day has come and the rings. And unfortunately for them, the ring slid from their hands. And when you walk through New York City, they have drinks. Some of the drinks are as deep as the height of this roof, if you have opportunity to look into it. So when there are floods, they are the things that carry the water away quickly. So their wedding engagement ring fell through a hole and down into the place. I'm sure that one was not as deep as I've described. But they try without success to retrieve the rings. They tried and they couldn't. And the police came around and asked them what they were looking for. And they told them. So the couple, in frustration, left the place. But the New York police came back to the scene. And they went to find metal detectors and some implements, I'm sure, that could magnetize metal. And they used it and they pulled the ring out. Oh, come on. Then they went to place it on social media and said there was a couple, a prospective couple, who came to New York to buy wedding rings. And while they were going away, these rings dropped and they couldn't retrieve them from that trench. The Bible says, sorry, did I say the Bible? Oh, we have been preaching from the Bible and now I'm preaching from New York. I'm still saying that the Bible says. It's not true. The Bible didn't say that. So according to the story, this prospective couple just identified the ring. They had the receipts and everything. And the rings were shipped to them. Oh, come on, come on, come on. There is a help of man. And the help of man is good. But it has its limitations. There is another extent to which no help of man can be meaningful to you. You can never be saved in that situation by any humanistic help. The only one who can help you out is God. Oh, come on. Aren't you excited that God is about to help you? You must feel that you have had the help of men, but beyond the help of men, there is a help of God. Until you get to the place where you realize there's nothing else to be done except God, you do not put all your energy behind the word. Until you get to the place where you know what you are looking for cannot be granted and sustained by any human being. Only God can give you and sustain it and increase it. Until you get to that stage, you don't press for a miracle. If you think your boyfriend can grant it, you don't even press God. If you think that somebody else can grant it, you don't press. One time, a giant came against Israel. First Samuel 17. A giant came against Israel by name Goliath. Stood on one mountain with his people called the Philistines. And Israel was standing on another mountain with their leader King Saul. The giant shouted that I'm the elected one among the Philistines. Elect a champion from your end to face me. And if I defeat your champion, then we'll rule over you. If your champion defeats me, then you guys will rule over me. 40 days and 40 nights. They will go there. The soldiers, some of them will sleep. Others will keep vigil. But they couldn't do anything. They couldn't deal with Goliath until God sent David. Oh, can I hear an amen? He was just going to give lunch to his brothers. But the guy was spiritually ready. You must be in readiness in and out of season. Can I hear an amen? And when David got there, he asked, what is the reward that shall be given to the man that deals with this giant? Finally, he persuaded King Saul. Saul agreed, had confidence in him. Saul gave him his armor, but it wouldn't fit because it was too heavy. But David had expertise in the stone and the sling. He picked 5 stones out of a brook, placed the first one in the sling, and rolled it and released it. If you watch some news items between the Israelis and the current Palestinians, I see them throwing the sling. I don't know how they release the thing. But they throw it, the Palestinians throw it against the army of Israel. And David threw one. Oh, he could have missed target. He could have gone over the bar. But the hand of God was upon it. And it went through the uncovered part of his forehead and down to the ground. No matter how big your enemy is, he will not escape your prayers. No matter how dominant your enemy has been, he will not escape the sword of the Spirit. When God places his hand upon your prayers, your enemies are in trouble. May God place his hand upon your voice and magnify your voice. For God is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The second example, in the book of Judges, the Midianites were serious oppressors, and they will wait till the time of the harvest, when Israel had cultivated the land, sowed seeds, and were waiting to have the harvest, and these people will come from nowhere like grasshoppers. They will not sow anything. They will not plant anything. They know Israel would do the dirty job for them. And a particular year came because Israel could not overpower them. These people were being sponsored by some army general who was used in bullying Israel. But God will call upon Gideon and tell him, "You mighty man of valor, God has chosen you and appointed you and anointed you that you will bring deliverance to Israel." Gideon had despised himself and thought he was nothing. After the prophet spoke to him, he was asked to go and break down the altars in his family house. And Gideon went to break down the altars. Gideon had 33,000 men in his army. 33,000. And if a man has such men, you know, if they kill 5,000, you still have some 20-something thousand. But God scaled the number down to 300 because he said the rest were afraid. There are times when it's important to just pray with a few people who have faith and confidence in what you are doing. Then the situation may be impossible, but the 300 instead of the 33,000 will help you accomplish. So Gideon went out into battle, and 300 men chased hundreds of thousands of men and defeated them. It could only happen by the hand of God. The third example is in Joshua chapter 10. This was when Israel were fighting some five kings who had come together to fight against Judah and Israel. Five kings. They were named that: King of Jerusalem, King of Hebron, King of Jarmuth, King of Lachish, King of Eglon. They came together. They had allied forces, and the intention was to deal with Judah. But the Bible says God directed Joshua to go to the battlefield with his men. And as the battle wore on, I'm not hearing an amen, Israel began to defeat their enemies. And because there were many, some were running away. And God knew that if any of them escaped, they will go and regroup. And after some time, they'll come and attack Israel. So while they were running away, the Bible said God caused hailstones to start falling. Hailstones are like ice falling from the skies. They could be as small as anything to as big as anything that God wants it to be. And the Bible says those who were killed by hailstones, verse 11 of Joshua chapter 10, it said there were more who died of hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew by the sword. Many more were killed by this ice blocks from the skies than the arrows and sword that Israel shot at them. May that be your testimony. That the hand of God shall slay more than your prayer. Oh, can I hear an amen from somebody? This is the hand of God. And in verse 14 he says, and there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened to the voice of man. In other words, God hears the prayers of man. For the Lord fought for Israel. Today may God fight for you in the name of Jesus Christ. But before the Lord fights for you, Exodus 14:13 says, do not be afraid. Number one. Number two, stand still. And number three, see the salvation of the Lord. You will see, you will experience the salvation of the Lord. The salvation of the Lord is perfect. It will affect your spirit, your soul, and your body. And it will manifest in your social life, your financial life, your emotional life, your material life. The salvation of the Lord is complete. And when God brings you the salvation, no man can take it away. Can I hear an amen? It's a victory that will put the enemy to where he belongs. The enemy belongs under your feet. Oh, if you continue reading this text that we just read, the Bible says the five kings ran and went to hide themselves in a cave. While Israel was chasing the rest and the hailstones were falling on them, Joshua commanded that roll a stone to block the entrance and the exit of the tomb. So the five kings were trapped in. So they pursued these ones, and when God had aided them in defeating them, they came back and rolled the tombstone away, and they brought out the kings. Then Joshua made them lay on the floor. And Joshua said, Israel, come and put your feet on their necks. Then Joshua prophesied, so shall it come to pass, that any enemies that rise against you, you will have your feet over their necks. Can I prophesy that to you? Because it looks like that took you by surprise. I am prophesying to you, just as in the days of Joshua, where the kings, five kings that formed an alliance and came to attack Israel, and God discomfited the enemies by raining hailstones against them, and while some were running away, God slew more by the hailstones than what Israel did by the sword. And when they had arrested the five kings and brought them out of the cave, they asked them to lay on the ground, and so were Israel asked to place their feet on the neck of the kings. I prophesy to you that any power of darkness, any spirit of witchcraft, any power of the occult, any kind of force of the enemy that has attacked you, God shall bring them down. God is bringing them down now by the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. And I prophesy, you will have victory over them. You will have the upper hand over them. You will find your feet on their necks, a place of humiliation. May the enemy be humiliated before you. The Bible says you shall tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and upon all the power of the enemy, and they shall by no means hurt you. May your leg be on the neck of your enemies. Moses had told them, stand still. He says, do not be afraid. Stand still, for you will see the salvation of the Lord. If you believe that from this moment forward, you will see the salvation of the Lord, let me hear your shout and applause louder than any other person's here. Yes. Yes. Come and lift your voice. Because victory is coming to the house of God. I say victory is coming to the church of Jesus Christ. Victory is coming to your community and is coming to your household. Oh, the word salvation from the original means a number of things. It is the word sozo. In the Old Testament, the word that denotes salvation has to do with, number one, has to do with deliverance. In other words, you are in a place where you cannot save yourself, nor help yourself, or no man can aid you, but the only one who can help you is God himself. In the circumstance, when it comes to your aid, we call that divine salvation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We call that divine deliverance. You have been delivered from bondage. You have been delivered from oppression. You have been delivered from the attacks and the weaponry of evil. You have been delivered from premature death and from sickness and disease. May you be delivered from barrenness and from miscarriages. May you be delivered from failure and poverty. I release the power and the tokens of the blood of Jesus applied to your life, that when the angel of death and destruction shall pass through the land, corona shall not visit your house. Even if it did, it will have no power over anybody in your house. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You will not need to be under oxygen, neither will you need to be in the ICU. You will not need to gasp for breath. You will not be in danger, for the power of evil is banished from your life. Oh, receive the victory. May you be delivered from the expectations of the wicked one. The pronouncements of the evil one, the spells that they have cast. I command deliverance out of the horrible pit by the tokens of the blood. May you be delivered from pain. May you be delivered from any kind of inflammation of any organ in your body. May you be delivered from infections. And may you be delivered from brittle bones in your body. Your bones shall not collapse. Your bones shall not break. Your sight shall not be blind. Your ears shall be unstopped. You will hear. Your health shall not fail. I release power, 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 power in the name of Jesus. May you be delivered right now in the name of Jesus Christ. The deliverance covers your household. The deliverance covers your country. The deliverance covers your community. The deliverance covers your life. Be delivered from the pits of death, from the horrible pits of death. May death has no power over you. May the stinger of death and of the grave have no power over you. May you not be killed by the devil, but may God in his own time. Moses, the accredited prophet of God, had a message from God for King Hezekiah. It wasn't a good message. Prepare your house, for you will die. When Hezekiah looked at Isaiah, he was a carrier of the message. He didn't doubt his word, but he realized the help of Isaiah was limited. So he turned his face away from Isaiah and turned it to the wall, toward God. You will need to turn your face away from the Isaiahs after they have brought you the word of God, and turn your face to the wall. It makes me feel like the food Lapiwa, that you face the wall. And when we say you are facing the wall, then you are eating konkonte and groundnut soup or something like that. But you are facing the wall in intercession, and you are facing the wall in prayer. You are lifting your voice and confidence to the Most High God. You must be sold out to prayer. Are you hearing me? Because what you have, only God can help you. So if you are not praying, you are shortchanging yourself. And you must invest in prayer, because prayer can change the situation. The king Hezekiah didn't argue with him. He didn't say, Isaiah, is that the message you brought me? He didn't say that, executioners, arrest the man. I thought he would have brought me a better message. Look at such an evil message the prophet has brought me. But he turned his face away. He didn't say a word. There are things you don't argue with the prophet, but you turn away your face and turn it toward God. God heard his prayer, and within a matter of a minute, from the bedroom of Hezekiah into the courts, outer courts of the palace, Isaiah heard the voice of God again, and he returned to prophesy that God was adding some 15 more years to Hezekiah's life. Can I say, you shall not die? You shall not die. And I mean it. I'm not quoting it. I'm merely parroting it. I'm saying, you shall not die. You shall not die by road accident. You shall not die by drowning in river or sea or body of water. You shall not die by sickness or disease. You shall not die on the operating table. You shall not die during childbirth. You shall not die by ectopic. You shall not die by being shot at, by being stabbed. You shall not die by fire. You shall not die. You shall not die, but you shall live. You shall live. You shall live. I declare you shall live, to declare the works of God. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. For me, to live is Christ. Paul says, to die is gain. To live is to share the gospel. To live is to preach Christ. To live is to serve as a beacon, to direct people to salvation. And you don't live for living sake. You don't live just because you want to marry. Those are just extras. They come along the line. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I can tell you, the things that will be added to you, you cannot contain. Your house will not contain. Your bank account cannot contain. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your wardrobe cannot contain. Your driveway cannot contain. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The salvation of the Lord. The first meaning I've just given is deliverance. The second meaning is victory. Oh, there are so many meanings. But we can deal with what we can in a matter of time allowed. The second is victory. And victory means to have the upper hand over situations and over your enemies. Your hand shall not be low. You will have the upper hand. May God lift your hand. When Israel was at the banks of the Red Sea, God told Moses, lift your hand and raise the rod. May the Lord lift up your hand. May your hand be lifted up. When we are worshiping and we say, lift up your hand, you recognize that there has come a victory, and there is an incoming victory which you are about to receive, for which you are raising your hand. Can you clap your hands and raise it high toward the Lord, because you are about to receive another breakthrough. The songwriter said, from victory unto victory, he will lead his army. From victory. Victory on Calvary's cross. Victory through the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. Victory, victory, victory through the crucifixion. Victory, you have victory. And I am telling you, the Bible says, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph The meaning of triumph is to celebrate the victory. So can I release to you victory? Can I release unto you victory for Sunday? I'm releasing, receive. Let me hear you, victory for Monday. I say victory for Tuesday, victory for Wednesday, victory for Thursday, victory for Friday, victory in the name of Jesus for Saturday, and another victory for Sunday. And may the cycle continue. Victory for January, victory for February, victory for March, for April, for May, for June, victory for July, victory for August, victory for September, victory for October, November, and victory for December. And may the victory start again. May your victory become cyclical. David had a battle against some enemies, and God asked him to hold on and wait for this sign that he will move on top of the mulberry trees. And when he hears that signal and sees it, he must just move with his army. And when David went in and defeated the enemies, he came to testify. He said, "For by my hand," that means David's hand, "for by my hand you have moved in against my enemies like the rushing of the waters, like a flood, just by my hand." Lift up your right hand. By this hand, by this right hand, by this hand, may God grant you victory. Oh, lift your left hand as well. By this hand, now your hands, may God grant you victory over your enemies at all times. May you have the final laugh. May you have the last laugh. Oh, act like you are celebrating the victory. Oh, come on, come on. Yes, somebody shout, yeah. Oh, come on, put your hands together. Take the victory, it all yours. Take it. Don't leave any behind. Take it. Not one victory, not two victory, not three victory, not even seven victory. Take the victory. Take it uncountable. Take it into the future. Infinite victory. Victory that some will be left for your children and your children's children. So the word salvation, number one, means deliverance. Number two, it means victory. The people who are victorious are the club which sings. The team which is victorious is the team which celebrates. May your celebration happen now and onwards in Jesus' name. If you were to watch the finals of a soccer or football competition and you came in last minute and you didn't know who won, and you look at the people who are shouting, "Ole, ole, ole, ole." I am talking about victory, and you cannot even say, "Jesus, Jesus, 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 Jesus." You can't even jump. It's as if something is holding your leg. It's as if you are ashamed. It's as if you are not confident. It's as if you are not sure. Because in the celebration of the victory, something happens inside. Clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with a voice of both victory and triumph. The third meaning of the word salvation is prosperity. It is in there. If somebody says, "I'm preaching a prosperity message," I'm preaching the gospel of salvation. And with salvation, you preach about deliverance from sin and eternal condemnation. And you preach about prosperity because God wants his work to be sponsored by the people of God. Shout amen. Amen. Shout amen. Amen. So there will be prosperity. There will be super abundance. There will be increase. There will be provision of God. There will be no lack. God will provide even in the most difficult circumstances. Even in the desert where 20,000 people were following Christ, the lunch of a small boy made up of bread and some fish will be blessed to cater for the about 20,000 people. And the fragments that are left will be 12 baskets full. May you have more than enough. And may you have fragments full as excess. Shout amen. Shout amen. So you will prosper mentally. You'll be very intelligent. You'll be very wise. You'll be full of understanding. You will prosper emotionally. You will not be fearful. You will not be timid. You will not be depressed. You will not worry. You'll be confident. You'll be bold. You'll be filled with the spirit of faith. You will prosper physically. Your health will not fail. Your health will be sustained. Can I hear an amen from somebody? Your health will be supported and upheld by the word of God in the name of Jesus. He sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from their destructions. May you be delivered from your destructions in Jesus' name right now. Number four. Salvation means healing. It means you were not well, but there is recovery for you. May your eyes be healed. I say, may your eyes be healed. May your sight be corrected. May God correct that which was wrong and remove the cataracts. May the power of God restore sight on your lens and cornea in the name of Jesus. Number five, salvation means health. So after healing, you will walk in divine health. You will be stronger than when you fell sick. Your energy will be more than 10 times the previous one. Now you will work at the rate of the Holy Ghost, at the energy, at the power, at the strength of the grace of God. Are you hearing me? You will go for many days and many months without getting sick, because by the time sickness wants to manifest, the power of God will shut it down. Is it number six now? Number six, salvation means restoration. Whatever you lost shall be brought back to you. Whether you lost a baby through miscarriage, God will bring you restoration. Whether you lost a business because of contradictory situation, God will bring you restoration. You lost your relationship. May God restore you. God restore your wisdom, understanding, your strength, your confidence, your hope, and your joy, and your peace. Oh, come on, keep clapping. Keep clapping. Salvation, number seven, means to be set free. We have salvation. But the Bible says, them that the Son shall set free shall be free indeed. As you study the word and you are enlightened on the word, what the Bible is saying, that systematically and gradually and instantaneously and miraculously, certain other areas of your life will be liberated. Chains of captivity will be broken. Prison gates will be open. Your hands that were tied will be freed. In the name of Jesus, may you receive freedom. May you receive liberty. May God touch you now and break the yoke. Oh, can you clap? We can talk about salvation. Oh, keep clapping, keep clapping, keep clapping. In salvation, there's preservation. If somebody gave you 20 cartons of fish to start a business, and suddenly all electricity went off for the next 2 weeks, and you had no other means of preservation, all the fish will go bad. God doesn't give you prosperity without preservation. He will preserve what you have for you, and preserve it for your children, and preserve for your children's children. May the Lord preserve His church. May the Lord preserve His people. May the Lord preserve His family. May the Lord preserve your family. May the Lord preserve your investments and your business concerns. May the Lord preserve your health. There is one that I will end with, and there are many more that at another time we'll look at, but it is forgiveness. When you have offended man and he refuses to forgive you, you can walk your way, you can walk away. Maybe resettle somewhere, move out of that country and move out of that continent, not see his face again, and it's okay. But when you offend God, who will plead with you? Those who work with overall bosses, CEOs, it means you have to be more careful. Because if you offend a subordinate, you can appeal to the CEO to put in a word for you that you are forgiving and restored. But when you offend the CEO, oh, when you offend God, only God can forgive you. The Bible says His compassion is renewed, and His mercies are available to us day by day. One of the biggest gifts you know as a Christian is that you're not just coming to church, but you have acknowledged Jesus as your Savior, your Lord. If He's your Savior, the first thing is He will forgive you your sin. I think you should be clapping. This one is free. It's free. You should be clapping. There are some things that should make you clap. It's not only prosperity and money, because it is this that starts your life of prosperity. The Bible says that if God will withhold iniquity against us, who will stand? Who will stand? But the Bible says it's because of His multitude of mercies. That is why we shall be forgiven. The Bible says, whosoever sin you hold against them shall be held against them. Jesus told the disciples, and whosoever sin you forgive and wipe away shall be forgiven. May you be forgiven. May you be forgiven. Oh, can I hear? I say, may you be forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, may that which is a limitation, a barrier, if somebody committed that sin and it's become generational, we plead redemption by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Some people committed a sin and God led Israel into captivity. And children were born in captivity who had committed nothing. But it was the same grace of God that went in to save them. May that grace reach you and your house. So can I hear a better amen? Oh my, you should be clapping louder. If you know you are forgiven, show gratitude to God by shouting, by clapping, by rejoicing. In conclusion, Moses said in Exodus 14, the enemies that you see today, you will see them no more forever. I like those who sell. The rat poison. And when they are moving from neighborhood to neighborhood, they say, Kwakwe, last stop. In other words, this rat poison serves as the last stop for that mouse, that rat that is disturbing you. Moses said, this prayer I have prayed, and this grace that has been released is the last stop of your enemies. Oh, if you understood me, you would have clapped loud. He said, you will not see them anymore forever. Today, I prophesy that those who are operating demonic spirit unrepentantly, their mercies are running short. And I declare after this prayer, if they don't repent, you will not see them again. Are you afraid? It was real. It was real. May the frustrations be taken out of your way. May the confusion, may the failures be taken out of your way. A young man visited a church, and in that church, that was about some 30 years ago, and in that church, they were asked to make a donation. If you look at that donation, it will be like equivalent to 100,000 CDs now. And he said, by the time the pastor finished preaching, he said he wanted 20 people. About 40 people came. Say, hey! Pastor, in other words, this pastor is lifted far above poverty. Because the way the people responded, he needed 10. Just needed small number. But more than twice the number came. God is going to take you far away from reproach, far away from disgrace, far away from a life beggarly, far away from evil. And your season of celebration and your season of rejoicing will come. I have preached. I have declared the word. But there's one thing I'll ask of you. That you shout because of your salvation. That this salvation will manifest in your mind, manifest in your emotions, manifest in the physical, manifest in the relationships, manifest in the financial, manifest in your health, manifest in your business, manifest in your academic life. I'm not going to ask you to stop. If you want to stop after 30 seconds, but I want you to clap. What are you sitting down for? I can't. Hey, Mawenimbrio, you're wild. Grandmothers, clap from you. Is that all you can do? Have you forgotten to shout? Have you forgotten to rejoice? Have you forgotten to call on the name of the Lord? The enemies that you see today, you will see them no more forever. Don't be afraid. Stand still, for you will see the salvation of the Lord. You will see the victory. You will see the blessing. You will see the favor. Somebody is getting healed here. May you be healed of your infirmities, of your sicknesses, by the power of God. Now you are going, first you just clap. But this one will be a prophetic action. Pharaoh and his army have been following you. Yesterday, those who came to the woods, I told them a revelation that I saw somebody like an enemy spirit pursuing after a child of God. I thought this pursuit would be for 2 minutes or some 10 minutes. But this demon pursued the person for over 2.5 hours. And this demon could not really catch up and overtake this person. But this demon had gone ahead previously into an institution where the person was academic, I saw, and to share negative testimony so that that student would not graduate. But in the revelation, I saw that God had already graduated the student. So that effort by the enemy was not working. They say you won't marry, but God is gone ahead already with a shout of victory, a shout that the door is open. They say you will not bring forth. God is gone ahead with a shout, with a breakthrough. I like that shout. May the Lord anoint you twice and bless you more. Come on, lift your voice. We are not kidding here. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice and shout and begin to speak in the supernatural. The enemies that you see today, you will see them no more. The hunting spirits, the pursuing spirits, the demons that are chasing after you, by the power of God, we overpower them. We declare they will not prevail. Lift up your voice and pray, somebody. They will not prevail. They will not catch up with you. They will not overtake you. The hand of God shall be against them like Pharaoh and his chariots. The wheels of their chariot shall be clogged in the mud, and they will say, this is the hand of God. May the hand of God work against your enemies right now in the name of Jesus. May the hand of God be lifted on your behalf. May the hand of God be lifted on your behalf. That where there was no way, there shall be way. May God make a way in your Red Sea now.